From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. North Korea now says the deaths earlier this week of two civilians in an exchange of artillery fire with South Korea is regrettable. But the North is also accusing the South of using civilians as human shields. Two South Korean Marines also died, and following their funeral service today, activists clashed with police and riot gear south of Seoul. As Michael Rhee reports, emotions are running high in the South about how best to respond to the attack.
As families quietly wept in the crowd, Marine Commander Yunak Jun vowed revenge against the North 1,000 times over. Two civilians also died in the attack by North Korea on Yunpyeong Island Tuesday. Since then, South Korea's government has struggled to appease an increasingly angry public. The Associated Press reports dozens of former special troops forces scuffled with riot police in front of South Korea's defense ministry while protesting what they call a weak response to the attack. For NPR News, I'm Michael Rhee in Seoul.
A tree lighting ceremony in Portland, Oregon, broadcast live by KGW-TV, went off without a hitch last night, even as authorities arrested a Somali-born teenager for trying to carry out a car bomb attack. Authorities say the public was never in any danger because the bomb was a dud supplied by undercover agents. Spencer Raymond is with Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland. He says authorities have known about the teenager for months and that his arrest was part of a sting operation.
The investigation into Mahmoud started back in August of 2009. That's when the FBI says he emailed someone in Pakistan, allegedly connected to terrorist activities there. The FBI says that this person in Pakistan emailed him back, referring him to someone else, and that is who the FBI emailed Mahmoud pretending to be. And that's how the FBI operative started this relationship with Mahmoud.
Spencer Raymond of Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland. A large crowd is gathering in the center of the Irish capital of Dublin to protest against the government's austerity program. NPR's Philip Reeve says thousands have turned out despite winter conditions.
The snow and slush covering much of Ireland today won't cool the anger of its citizens over the price their government wants them to pay to repair their country's broken economy. This is the first major protest since Irish ministers unveiled their four-year plan to shrink Ireland's 32% budget deficit, the biggest in Europe. That plan includes tax hikes, the loss of 25,000 public sector jobs, and cuts to the minimum wage and pensions, measures which the unions organising today's demonstration say mean poorer members of Irish society end up paying for the reckless waste of the rich, particularly bankers. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Dublin.
NATO says an overnight operation in eastern Afghanistan has killed at least 15 insurgents. This is NPR. Soldiers and police in Brazil appear to be preparing a big push against drug traffickers in Rio de Janeiro. Authorities are trying to take back control of more than a dozen slums ahead of the 2014 Soccer World Cup and the 2016 Olympics. Authorities say more than 30 people have been killed since police first clashed with suspected gang members earlier this week. It's likely that few Americans gave thanks this week for President Obama's signature tax cut. But as NPR's Scott Horsley reports, they may be sorry when it's gone.
That's pretty much what happened with President Obama's Making Work Pay tax credit. Distinct from the Bush-era tax cuts, the Making Work Pay credit is worth $400 a year for individuals or $800 for families. Because it was dribbled out in people's paychecks every other week or so, the cut was largely invisible. A CBS New York Times poll this fall found fewer than 1 in 10 people believed they'd gotten a tax cut. Now, the cut, which President Obama campaigned on, is about to expire at the end of this year. Unless Congress votes to extend the tax credit, people's paychecks will be shrinking in the new year. Maybe this time they'll notice the change. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Australia's Qantas Airlines has resumed flights of its super jumbo passenger plane. A Qantas Airbus A380 left Sydney today for a flight to Singapore and London. It's the first passenger flight for the A380 since a mid-air engine explosion earlier this month. The plane is one of two in Qantas's fleet of six A380s to have been cleared to resume flying since the incident. The other four are expected to be back in the air after further repairs. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News. From Washington.